You're listening to The Kylo Show, the podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. In this week's episode of The Kylo Show, Danny and Brittany talk about the fears and fantasies people bring into a relationship and how to discern God's truth. So buckle up, because this episode starts right now.
Hello, and welcome to The Kylo Show. We are very fall-like today.
I know. I feel like a bag of leaves.
Well, I think they're really flowers.
Flowers. Okay. You know,
they've got the color of...
Very autumn.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We are sinking into that cold weather-ish, you know?
Yeah.
It's not quite that cold yet. California never gets that cold.
Well, compared to some
Alaska
places.
Or yeah, anywhere. Yeah. I know. It's true. But it's coming, which means we've left the triple digits, and it's nice.
I know sometimes we complain about our freezing 40s.
Yeah.
You know.
Totally.
People, they have no compassion.
They don't, but that's okay. They don't endure the hundreds like we do in the summer.
Well, so see, there it is.
There's give or take.
Maybe they do. Maybe they have ice storms and triple digits.
Oh, well.
That's why we live in California.
It's true.
Yeah, there's just all the other stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're still on dating and engagement section for the show, mm-hmm. and this week we're going over love over fear,
mm-hmm.
and we're really kind of chasing and identifying those fears and fantasies mm-hmm. in dating and engagement, which is fun because I think that is real.
There's a lot of guesswork out there. You know, when you look out at your future, you do your best to try to fill in the blanks, and it's probably half and half. You know, you fill in the they're too awesome, really, or I'm too awesome,
mm-hmm.
or they're going to be horrible, or I'm going to be horrible, or this is going to be super, or this is going to be super horrible.
Yeah.
So it's not hard to, you know, a lot of people do that with, you know, becoming parents or whatever. There's just lots of guesswork.
Do you think in the fantasy part of this, we're in a singles or might be searching for the perfect mate, you know, looks, background?
Mm-hmm.
Is that part of the fantasy piece?
Totally.
What's the other part of the fantasy when you're in the relationship that you're never going to fight?
Yeah, there's a whole series of unrealistic expectations that you have of yourself and of your relationship and of your potential partner. I think that's what makes romantic love so awesome, you know, so beautiful, is this idea that I am so in love with all the things I don't know about you.
Mm-hmm.
And so let me fill in all the blanks and they'll be just perfect. And then one by one, as reality sets in, we'll just scratch those off. We'll just scratch them off because all my fantasies are being jolted with reality. And so it's really mature love that we're after, mature covenant love, that kind of love that you would have with your children, mm-hmm. that we would have unconditionally with each other. Because romantic love, at some level, just eventually is pounded by reality.
You know, in you talk about in DTR, the la la la.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the fantasy?
Yeah, yeah. There's so much stuff I don't know about you, and I'm really not being myself at this point. You know, I'm oh, after you. Oh, I don't care. What do you want to do? Well, no, you pick where we eat. I don't know. I'll eat anywhere. I am so flexible. I am so gentle with this super fragile relationship that we have, this very fragile connection. I wouldn't do anything mm-hmm. to test our connection because I want you to stick around. That's what creates and hosts that fantasy, is neither one of us are really being ourselves yet.
No, that is a fantasy. Let me just tell you that right now. When you get married, that goes away.
Yeah, yeah.
In a lot of different ways that you didn't see it coming. That's how this feels for me. But so fantasy can be the perfection of a human being.
Sure.
And maybe even this perfect salary, image, all these different things, but also the experience in the relationship, we can turn it into this mm-hmm. fantasy because of what we're willing to maybe compromise and adjust in order to save that protection or that connection.
I think compromise is a pretty good word. It'd be like, I want to buy a house, but I want to buy a house that is going to put me so far in debt that I'm going to struggle miserably just to live in that house. Mm-hmm. And so some people expect to buy a $5 million house on a $300,000 budget. And so they just finagle every possible angle they can to get into this house and can't put any furniture in it. Mm-hmm. You know,
camping in your house.
They don't enjoy it because, you know, 3 months in, they're getting phone calls and people are. So I think when we have these super unrealistic expectations of who we're going to end up with, then when we try to get in with that, we basically sell our soul to have a relationship instead of actually enter the relationship that is mutually respectful and mutually beneficial.
So how do you keep from selling your soul? Because that's a very deep sentence to give. Don't think anyone wants to sell their soul in the name of engagement, but how do you pay attention to that hook? Because I would imagine it's not like overnight. It's a slow mm-hmm. stepping stone to you're there.
Mm-hmm. It's probably the same way you don't try to keep up with the Joneses in your lifestyle. Mm. You know, it's where you aren't measuring your worth. You're not measuring your happiness. You're not measuring your success by something a commercial tells you or something your neighborhood tells you or even maybe something that your family tells you. It's like you got to do the work of true identity. When I look into my father's eyes, what is he validating? What is he leading me in? Where are we going together? And what is the definition of success in his eyes? What is the opportunities that he's leading me into? And I think there's a lot of that work. That's part of your singleness is being happy with yourself and then finding someone who's happy with themselves. And then let's see if we're happy together.
Which we talked about before, just, you know, right. Marriage isn't necessarily the end goal. You have to be loving you mm-hmm. before you get to that big relationship or marriage. So that's good. What about the, we talked about the fantasy part. What about the fear factor?
There's lots of ways to become intimidated by, for starters, a perfect relationship. Like, right. Okay, let's make this thing this perfect fantasy. Oh, I'm scared I'm going to fail because I am, you know? Or even
we should say that again. You're gonna fail.
You're gonna fail. This is gonna be work. This isn't mm-hmm. anything worth anything doesn't come free. Mm-hmm. And so the idea that you're gonna find your soulmate where there's zero required of you, no adjustments, mm-hmm. No surprises, no disagreements, you're gonna be disappointed.
Yeah, I think the people probably struggle with the disagreement where mm-hmm. we have a big disagreement. I don't know how to move forward in it. So therefore, we must not be compatible because there's not complete peace and harmony in this relationship.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it doesn't look like my best friend relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have the girlfriend, best friend, and then the fella that's the boyfriend, but that relationship looks different. They're pulling different types of personality, obviously different interests, mm-hmm. you know. There, but how do you gauge that the differences don't equal disconnect or giving into the fear piece?
You learn how to do conflict well. You know, you learn how to show up and allow another human being to show up, and then find the places where you're going to prioritize. Okay, let's be sure to connect over these things. Mm-hmm. And that would be really the priority of the Lord leading you. The priority of Scripture in your life, the standards of purity. Are you following hard after the Lord? Well, so am I. Okay, in that, let's trust Him to work out what we need to adjust to, and then we'll always have our particulars, and they're probably not worth hanging on to once we get our connection back. We probably will adjust because we're not trying to win a power struggle anymore. We're now trying to enjoy each other.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's definitely the goal. I think big part there I hear you saying is trusting the Lord and believing that that we're designed for covenant, that we're designed for that relationship, and there's going to be conflict in relationship. It's how you process, how you lean in, how you prioritize that connection and grow in those opportunities that change it.
I think another thing that people are afraid of is, especially as they get older, like let's say you're single and out of your family's home for a decade. Mm-hmm. You've set some some habits, you've set some rhythms, you've set some normals in place.
Yeah.
So one of the fears is disrupting that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have two of those people coming together and they're like, oh, geez, who's gonna win? Who's gonna define Christmas? It's that kind of thing. It's like two cultures coming together. So that's a real thing to be concerned about. But at the same time, it's back to we're going to be learning how to do conflict well.
Mm-hmm.
I think that maybe some people have been firsthand witnesses of divorce or two or more. And they're afraid of that. They're afraid of having children and then blowing it up.
Which is the fear of, what if I pick the wrong person?
Yeah, or I've never seen it done well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a positive image in my head. I only have people that seem to just be struggling, and nobody gets married so they can get divorced.
Right.
And so everybody gets into that with, we'll work it out. We will. We'll just figure it out. And yet people end up divorced.
Would you say that's a remedy to fixing that is maybe putting yourself in healthy community that have done it well?
Yeah, you need good examples. As with anything, if you're going to win a gold medal in a sport, you don't surround yourself with people who dropped out of the Olympics,
Yeah.
But we tend to be attracted to ourselves, I want to be affirmed in my words and my actions and my paradigms, so I surround myself with that. So if I have a negative bent on relationships, I will gravitate towards people who applaud that and all complain about it. If I have the goal of a successful marriage and family, I'll move towards, how did you do that? Mm-hmm. Where is that? And it's amazing how we actually live out these self-fulfilling prophecies.
Yeah, that's crazy. When I think about just this topic and fantasy and fears, I think of the game MASH. Remember? I don't know if anyone remembers that game, but you would put, you're married to someone you really think is cute, someone that you don't like, you live in a shack or you live in a mansion, and you play this tally game. Oh, we totally play this as kids. But it's literally fear and fantasy in one game, of I'm going to live horribly or I'm going to live this unrealistic life. And I think without submitting your relationship to the Lord and your life to the Lord, you start to probably play the dating game like MASH, looking at every partner that comes through of, are you going to give me a Lamborghini or are you going to give me a Volkswagen Bug? That's a,
Yeah, and some of this fear and fantasy stuff is it creates a philosophy around dating of, I have this particular life, I have these particular goals, and I'm looking for an accessory. Mm. Would you look good in my life? Yeah. And I'm really just trying to accentuate my life that I'm building presently, and you know, let's see how you'd look in there. Mm-hmm. Like, wow, well, that's a setup for a really hard life, mm-hmm. because you're not marrying a person, you're marrying a purse.
Yeah, you're looking for agreement in everything.
Yeah,
in that relationship, which is no good.
Not going to work.
Don't do that. Mm-hmm. Please don't. If you're listening, don't do that. Don't just find an accessory. No.
Yes.
It'll not go well, no matter how cute it is, okay?
Yeah.
Just don't do it. All right, well, we're going to jump into questions.
Okay.
So we'll see you in a minute.
Do you have a question that you need answered? Submit your question to thekyloshow.com. Danny and Brittany will answer your question, and you'll get the breakthrough that you're looking for. So go to thekyloshow.com and record your question now.
Okay, so we're going to jump into questions.
Awesome.
And in case you didn't know, you can give us your questions at thekyloshow.com. Mm. You can get on there and record your questions. We get to hear your voice. It's really fun. We love to answer these questions. Yeah. You can also give us a testimony. That's super fun, too. So if you didn't know about that, thekyloshow.com is where you're going to go to give us those questions. But today's first question comes from Angie.
Hi, Danny and Brittany. Thank you so much for doing the Kylo Show. My question is, if you're dating for a year, what makes us, the couple, think that we could last a lifetime together and each of us bring our own brokenness to the relationship? And how do we continue to work through that well? Thanks again.
A year of dating will expose a few things.
It's true.
You know, so that's probably a strength, a mm-hmm. benefit. There really is no way to predict the future, which is kind of where the fear part kind of jumps on you and goes, yeah. Well, what do maybe we should do 2 years?
We haven't had this situation yet.
Yeah,
we You're right. Had. Well, we are not going to have all of them in a year.
Yeah, I think back to it's really about being a person that can commit. Mm-hmm. Like I can commit. I can commit to my, you know, like if I'm gonna have children, they don't have a return policy. You know, you're like, this is a lifetime.
This is not the personality I was thinking of.
Yeah, I didn't order. This is not the one I ordered here. You know, well, dating is so much of it is about the commitment. It's less really about what the other person does, doesn't do. It's more about what I'm going to do no matter what they do. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the unconditional love and covenant that I've committed to.
Yeah. When I think about Ben and I first discovering one another, which we were really young, if I were to pull that Ben in front of me today, if I was single, I would not be attracted to that, mm-hmm. most likely.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've grown.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is a big part of paying attention to the attract who you are piece, because how healthy you are, how much you're willing to grow, those should all be big things you're looking for. Because mm-hmm. if Ben stayed the same person, this would be really hard.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm committed, and we have 3 kids, but it'd be really hard if he chose not to grow. But I knew way back then that he had a hunger and a value for growth
mm-hmm.
in himself.
Yeah.
And I think he'd say the same thing about me.
Yeah. Yeah. And that kind of comes back to we all will have 4 or 5 marriages, mm. you know, in our lifetimes. Most people choose to have those marriages with the same person. And we train other people how to treat us. Mm-hmm. So as we grow, we begin to need new things and reject things that we've tolerated. better.
Very true.
You know,
very
so
true.
As we graduate into the next level of this maturing love, we're actually changing as people. So that next marriage that we're going to have is a whole new set of agreements, a whole new, could be a different culture in a lot of ways, mm-hmm. because I'm not going to do that anymore with you. I'm finally putting my foot down. I'm finally saying no or saying yes, whatever creates change. And I'm looking for a different normal than we used to have.
Yeah.
And the other person doesn't enjoy the response they get trying to drag it back to where it was, and then eventually says, okay, I'll follow your lead on this one, mm-hmm. and I'll participate in that way of doing things.
Yep.
Maybe we're eating more vegetables now.
Yeah. And I think the year mark is a great, you know, time frame to see a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I've known people have gotten married much sooner than a year.
Sure. I guess it probably depends on how often they're together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And paying attention to, you know, what we said last week, a godly pursuit, or how did you word that? You worded it so beautifully. The three things. Kylo Principles was the last one.
Yes.
Having, you know, value for, you know, the biblical context of marriage and sex, mm-hmm. and then being a godly person.
Wholeheartedly.
Yes.
After Jesus.
So those are like the three. Mm-hmm. The last one kind of has five, mm-hmm. but we simplified it to three.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what I'd be looking for in that year's time is how much is that showing up?
Yeah. And then just build it.
Yeah. Totally. That's great. All right. Thanks, Angie. Next question we have comes from Sarah.
Hi, Danny and Brittany. My name is Sarah, and I am a single and have a question about waiting for the person that God has for me. I have been in a few long-term relationships, serious relationships, I should say, some of which were unhealthy, and have done the work to heal from those things and do continue to date at this time. I'm 32. However, do feel that I continue to wait and I continue to meet the wrong people who seem to be right at first and don't end up being the right person. So I'm just wondering, my question is, how do you not become disheartened when you've had so many failures?
Great question.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's hard.
It is hard.
But congratulations on not being in a marriage you don't want to be in.
Or settling and being in a relationship that's not, I mean, even for very long. It sounds like she's quick to get out of them because she realizes that they don't stand up to the mm-hmm. standard.
Mm-hmm. I mean, some of the things that enter in right here is what does your life look like not married,
mm-hmm.
and what are you waiting for in marriage? And some people would say, well, children. Like, all right, okay. What else?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because you know your life needs to have meaning and purpose and satisfaction for you, aside from something that you don't necessarily control. So if you kind of put God in a, well, if you don't give me that, I'm not going to be happy situation, it's not God who's not going to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
It's you. So be sure that your life in front of you is a life that is fulfilling, is, you know, is something that in obedience, like I'm obeying what the Lord's doing in front of me, and I'm loving it. I'm happy. Be that person and see who you attract, rather than I'm Eeyore and I'm just kind of waiting for another terrible thing, and here it comes. I knew it. Like, that is a spirit. You are going to literally attract that. So be sure that you are living something that is rewarding and successful, because you'll know what it looks like on another person, because that's actually who you want to be with, is somebody who's got the same thing. Mm-hmm. And then you have a new situation, which is how much of this are we going to get rid of to create another life together?
Yeah. I think about a gal that worked for you. She was, I think, in her 40s, somewhere in there. But she, it was no secret that she wanted to be married and have a family. And that was something, it was a big desire of her heart. But I watched her happen. Like, she pursued passion. She was just a happy person to be around. And I think it's because she just really valued herself and the life that she was in the moment. You know, she did end up getting married, which was, all of us were cheering and excited for her. And there's a few other people that I've seen, you know, that live the same way, that are happy, passionate. And I think the passion piece is a big piece to be noticing, as how passionate are you living your life? Because if there's passion missing, then pursuing someone else that you want to be passionate about you that has passion as well, it's probably going to be missing too.
Yeah, and the idea that my life doesn't start till I get married is a bummer.
Yeah,
because there's a lot of life that goes by waiting for that to be a good decision. So, you know, what are you doing? What are you doing to build a life that is attractive?
Yeah. Well, we will be praying for you, Sarah. Keep up the good work of not settling. And yeah, I don't know, get excited.
Mm.
Go find some excitement. Maybe you already have it. I don't know. But, you know, that's the...
Yeah, just spend some time with the Lord and say, Lord, where are you taking me next?
Mm-hmm.
I want to follow.
Go on that adventure with him, for sure. All right, next question comes from Mike.
Hi, Danny and Brittany. Thank you for doing the Kylo Show. I was in an abusive relationship in college, and once my eyes were finally opened to the dysfunction, I got out. After a season of healing, I tried dating again, and I was continually disappointed. I got to the point where I couldn't celebrate with friends that were even getting married. I seemed to be stuck in this cycle. I will do good for a few months and then spiral back into disappointment. What can I do to get out of this cycle?
Please refer to Sarah's answer.
This is a very similar question and answer to Sarah's.
Yeah. Because that same cycle will go on into your marriage.
Mm.
You know, you will find yourself dissatisfied with your partner about something because you have a cycle of disappointment that you never dealt with.
Mm.
And it's the, I give myself permission to be critical and judgmental, and then it poisons my whole perspective. And then I get a hold of it again, and I come out, and then I give myself permission to do it again. And that cycle, it applies to a job.
Yeah.
It applies to your children. Mm-hmm. It applies to marriage. So it's something, that cycle's something more to deal with, I think, than...
a dating relationship.
Yeah, or the people that you're finding that me, but you know, you hear him describe it as, I can't even get happy for my friends because I just know they are going down the same tube. And like, okay, that's rough, but that's an internal critic that, you know, you're gonna have to deal with, because it will apply everywhere, and I don't think it just applies to dating for him.
No, I agree. I think the cycle is the thing to beat. I mean, yeah, from a marriage perspective, I know Ben and I had cycles And, you know, every single time was, where's the Lord in this? Because we left him out somewhere and we've picked up our own agenda and it's not working. It is creating a mess. So, okay, where's the Lord? What do we need to do? Sometimes it was individual and sometimes it was the two of us together.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, it's a belief system, all sorts of things.
There's nothing like, you know, holding your life up to someone else's life to expose you. Yeah, I think that when people, I forget, I think it was Gabe Valenzuela said, being a parent showed me about the unconditional love of the Father, and being married showed me how selfish I was. So dating is a little pre-awareness to how self-centered we are as people and how we really expect other people to change. Mm. And so dating, that's why the romance part of it, we hide all of that. All of our...
We want to stay in the la-la-la.
All of our expectations of you changing are hidden.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just kind of keeping notes right now. But we'll jump out of the bushes
and
later.
As soon as we're married, can you stop brushing your teeth that way?
Thing,
oh my gosh.
The way you breathe bothers me.
Close your mouth. What's wrong with you? Why are you so loud?
How hard is it to breathe?
Yes, this is all very true. The things that when you're dating, you just... almost say are cute.
Yeah.
And then when you're married, you're like, all right, here's the list I've been building for
Oh, she has this cute little snort when she laughs. Oh, I just That's love it so much.
Yeah.
Could you please quit doing that? Yeah. Is there any, could you quit laughing?
Oh, these are great questions. So, so hopefully the theme is go find passion and...
purpose.
Yeah.
Satisfaction.
Outside of anyone other than you and Jesus, and then we'll see what happens after that. Awesome. Great. All right, we're going to jump into our testimony.
Beautiful.
Has the Kylo Show led to any breakthrough in your life? If so, we want to hear about it, because your victory might inspire someone else's breakthrough. You can record your testimony to be aired on the show at thekyloshow.com. Click record and share your testimony now.
All right, so this testimony comes to us from Bernie.
Hmm. Hi, Danny and Brittany. It's Bernie from Australia. I have really enjoyed the Defining the Relationship material on Life Academy. As a single person, it was really strategic in helping me to identify who it was that I wanted to become as a healthy person. Then as I started to meet men and date, I used the same principles to check if I was holding true to my healthy standard that I'd set for myself. Each time I dated someone, I would watch the DTR course again, and this would help me to determine if the partnership was maturing or if it wasn't. And sometimes I wasn't very mature. I remember someone once telling me that every relationship will break down except for one, and that actually gave me heaps of grace for myself. What I realized was that as I dated, I would attract myself. So whilst I would grow and become more mature and healthy slowly, we would actually keep hitting these areas of immaturity that I needed to still grow in. So I did what you suggested, and I did the growing up and the hard work. Then I attracted Jaden, and he was healthy and mature, and honestly, at first, I didn't even recognize it. But I kept going back to the DTR course and the list that I'd written for myself of the areas that I was looking for in a partner. We worked through the DTR course together as a team, and our pastors were so curious about our relationship and what they saw growing in us that they then decided to do DTR themselves. A couple of months ago, Jaden and I got married. After our wedding, people started to text us and come and speak to us and contact us and tell us about the changes that they were making in their lives because of our vows and what they'd seen in our relationship just on our wedding day. We have very complicated lives, Jaden and I. But we have the tools to work through conflict and the complexities in our lives. We have maturity and we have so much joy between us. Thank you so much for all that you have been investing into our lives, the tools and the resources that you've given us to overcome challenges and hardship with joy is just so rewarding. As we're so grateful for everything that you and Brittany are doing Kylo show is incredible. Thank you so much.
Bernie from Australia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's a champion, that girl.
Yes, she's great.
She did the hard work too. She made an enormous adjustment in a year. I mean, she went from attracting
scary.
What she did not want to live in,
mm-hmm.
and she made the adjustments, and all of a sudden Jaden shows up. You're like, seriously? Okay. And she found a good man.
Yeah, we had a conversation just the other day talking through some Loving on Purpose stuff for parenting, because she works at a school. So it was great because she was sharing so mm-hmm. much of that with mm-hmm. me that I hadn't heard. So I've heard it twice now mm-hmm. in a week, which is great. And her sharing of the DTR, which I've said this before, but she would take different people through it, and you know, they'd get to a certain point, nope, not going to make the cut. And her growth, you know, identifying that maturity and all those things,
yeah,
beautiful, super powerful. And you know, I have some other people that did the same thing. You know, they went through the course, nope, not going to make the cut.
Yeah,
this is where we part ways. You know, and it might sound harsh, but it saves you so much more pain.
Well, you know, just listening to you describe that, I'm thinking this dating feels like a job interview.
That's kind of how my one friend described it. He said it was like, this was the interview process of how far could we get to where we, our cultures and our core values lined up.
Yeah.
And then when they clashed, is it worth adjustment or not? You know, is it how you breathe and how you brush your teeth, or is it, you know, what you believe and what you're going to protect?
Hot after Jesus? Mm-hmm. Are you, you know, going to protect the biblical purity? And do you Kylo?
Right. I think it was a marriage interview for not that that's the advertisement.
It's a job. Yeah, it's a job. Do you want this job?
Yeah.
Because I want the job. Do you want the job? Mm-hmm. And the clearer you are about what's required for this job to be successful, the better you'll be at the interview,
mm-hmm.
both asking the questions and giving the answers.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Yeah. You know, Bernie was telling me just how thankful she is for the tools to navigate conflict, mm-hmm. because now being married, there's some of those things are coming out, and mm-hmm. it's just how it is. But it's not a scary thing because of the effort and work and maturing that mm-hmm. they've both done, and the tools.
Yeah, and they're both committed to the same outcome again and again and mm-hmm. again. And so watching someone keep requiring themselves to live up to those standards, mm-hmm. and then attract very different people along the way, that feels like it's working.
Yes, it's a big win.
Mm-hmm.
I think looking at new relationships in this world that we have, and all the different culture clashes and confusion, to hear somebody that is putting such high value on the process of the interview is really encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Really encouraging thing to hear, and to know that she's
a quality lady. She and I are writing a book together, mm-hmm. For educators. So yep.
They'll be out someday.
Yeah, it's in the works.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's great. She's fun. She's navigating all sorts of things. I mean, she's checking off a lot of boxes in this relationship as far as, you know, what are likely to come when you get married older,
mm-hmm.
you know. But she's doing a great job.
Mm-hmm. And it's, there's a lot of, on both sides, there's just a lot of stuff that they have worked through. They're both in their 30s. Mm-hmm. I think they're both in their 30s. And it's, you know, there's a lot of life that you pick up in that that span of time. And they are doing the heavy lifting. They are really, really requiring of themselves maturity,
mm-hmm.
so that's what they bring to a conflict or strategy or whatever it is that okay, we're going to bring mature love to what we build. And then we're going to have a house full of mature love.
Yeah. There's all the Kylo principles are alive and well in their home, mm-hmm. living out loud. And it was something that sounds like it was loud in the dating process, but it's loud in the marriage process as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think personally, after getting married, the biggest hurdle of the Kylo principles that I had to navigate myself was choosing connection in the face of fear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sure, fear and connection, but it's that, you know, you live single for so long, you get used to your freedoms, you get used to your ways of doing life, and then you have to join somebody else, and when they hurt you...
Poke you in the eye.
You know... I can't go somewhere away from you. I can't leave very well and not do this. I have to figure out how am I going to lean in and find connection again because we're married now or in this covenant relationship. Yeah. And so, you know, that's a...
I think, you know, some of the things that we're asking in a dating process is, you know... Do I have a follower of Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
You know, not just a church goer, but somebody that actually is submitted to Jesus as Lord of their life. And then the agreed upon sexual ethics, because culture at this point has filled the option set for people so confusing that you don't even know what your standards are anymore because you're... so watered down and so confused, but do we have somebody who honors God's definition for marriage and family, believes that sex belongs in marriage? You know, is that, do we have that person? And then the Kylo, the whole thing, like, are you a powerful person? Do you know how to grow love and cast out fear? Do you know how to heal up and deal with your own brokenness? Do you
know how to protect connection.
Pursue and protect connection. Are you going to be able to get back to joy after being hurt or scared or feeling powerless?
Not holding on to that.
Do you know how to be respectful in your communication? Meaning, do you know how to lower...
anxiety?
The fear. You know, like, do you know how to manage yourself in such a way that both people feel respected? Mm-hmm. Like the assertive, you matter and so do I. I matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, both of us. And, you know, do you know what boundaries practice like? Do you know how to say yes when you mean yes and say no when you mean no? And can you hear that and honor that back and forth? So I think that, you know, as we, you know, talk about dating or really... introducing reality and not preserving the fantasy fear model, you really have to have some measurement. And I love the way Bernie said, you know, I had this standards, I had this thing that I measured each relationship against. And is it moving in the right direction? Is it moving in the wrong direction? Mm-hmm. But if you don't have that, then you're really swirling and you're guessing.
Yeah. Which, you know, again, I've talked about this a few times since we started dating and, you know, even the singles, DTR, defining the relationship, an amazing course, worth the investment. If you're in a relationship that's, you know, purpose is marriage, then you should be...
And Relationship 101, both of those are in the Life Academy, and you should just pour through that. Successful confrontations. You should become a student of relationship building, family building, culture building, all these things. Or just do nothing but really help you.
You did a beautiful job of laying out, here are some really great things to be looking for in that course.
Mm-hmm.
That is the measuring stick, if you will. It's the yardstick.
Mm-hmm.
So
Ben and I are building a deck. Uh-huh. For your mother's she shed right now.
Yes.
And there's just these standards. There's just these requirements. You know, things got to be level. Things got to be square. Or it's just a massive pile of guessing. And it's going to be horrible because it's going to be slanted. It's going to be crooked. It's going to be leaning. It's just all these terrible things. It's going to be a big old puddle of water in the middle of it or whatever. Yep. It's just, you know, we are... We start with these certain standards, and you know, you're measuring the lengths, you're squaring this, you're leveling that, and it's every step of the way. We're just checking.
So go and get to find the relationship. It is life changing, and remember to be really developing and maturing your relationship with the Lord.
Yeah,
that's the other big piece that you could be doing that's going to help you in this process.
Very good.
Because whole healthy singles and people and families are going to save the world.
That's right.
And that's what we're doing here is we are after to save the world. So thanks so much for joining us here on The Kylo Show. We'll see you guys next time.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. Join us next week when Danny and Brittany talk about how to find people with great character. Never miss an episode of The Kylo Show by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. The Kylo Show is produced by Ali Armading, co-produced by Ashley Beck, Leah Alexander, Anna Hill, Sherry Silk, sound engineer and edited by Taylor Silk, and show promoter Christian Zamora. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.